Former Pueblo principal Richard Carranza has certainly left his mark here at Pueblo. Many of the teachers and staff who still work here today were hired by Carranza, but maybe his most important legacy is the foundation of Mariachi Aztlan de Pueblo High School, one of the most awarded high school mariachi groups in the nation. We recently had the opportunity to speak with Carranza about his role in shaping the mariachi program and what Pueblo still means to him.
Well, it's really good to be here, first of all. It's good to be back in Warrior Country in Pueblo High School. So thank you for the invitation to be here. So, you know, I actually grew up about three blocks away from Pueblo High School. So when I came to Pueblo High School, it was my neighborhood school. And once I graduated from Pueblo, I graduated from Pueblo in 1984. And this all has a reason, by the way, so I'm kind of laying the groundwork. Yeah. So I graduated from Pueblo in 1984, went to the University of Arizona. Eventually got my teaching degree, and I came back to Pueblo, did my student teaching at Pueblo, got hired at Pueblo as a bilingual social studies and American government teacher. And all during that time, since I've been 5 years old, I played mariachi music. So I actually still lived three blocks away from Pueblo when I taught at Pueblo. And on the weekends, I was still gigging in mariachis all around the community. And it would so happen that every now and then, students would come in on Monday and they'd say, "Hey, sir, was that you I saw this weekend?" And I would say, "Well, it depends. Where'd you see me?" And they'd say, no. It was my cousin's quinceañera. You were playing in a mariachi." And I would say, "Yeah, that was us." So, "Oh, that's cool. You know, I want to learn how to play, and I have a guitar or I have a violin." So what started happening was that I started giving little guitar lessons in my social studies classroom right across the hall from Mr. Comrie and Mr. O'Rourke. Some people remember them from back in the day. And I was giving guitar lessons, and two students became three students, became five students, became seven students. And after a while, the students said, "Hey, why can't we have a mariachi here at Pueblo?" And see, Pueblo has a history. Back when I was a student, there was a group called Los Payadores at Pueblo. And they were more of a Spanish kind of guitar group. But they were very, very famous in the community, and that had all kind of gone away by the time I came back to teach. So it was my first teaching experience where I taught kids how to organize. And I said, "Okay, if you want a mariachi program, write a petition, and don't you be the only one signing the petition. Get your friends to sign the petitions, and even better, get your parents to sign the petitions. And if you can get at least 200 signatures, I'll get you an appointment with the principal." And the principal at the time was Richard Gastelum, Dickie Gastelum. So sure enough, they didn't get 200 signatures. They got close to 300 signatures. They wanted a mariachi. So I got them a meeting with the principal. They went and met the principal. They presented their petition. And later on in the day, the principal of the Gastelum comes to my classroom and says, "What are you doing, Carranza?" And I said, "I'm getting ready to teach my next class, sir." He said, "What's up with the mariachi?" You know, with a smile on his face. He said, "Let's talk about it." So it was, I mean, he was very visionary, and he allowed us to do something that really hadn't been done in the TUSD, Tucson Unified School District. So there was no curriculum, so we wrote it. There were no instruments, so we borrowed, begged, and pleaded to get those instruments. We got instruments. Who's going to teach it? Well, I'll teach it. And that's the way it started. 1992, Mariachi Aztlan started with 11 students. And, you know, it just makes me so proud to see what has become and is still becoming of Mariachi Aztlan in our community, but across the country. And that's kind of how it started. It all started by student voices saying, "We want this in our school."
And eventually when you left Pueblo, why did you choose Mr. Contreras to continue your legacy?
So I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but Mr. Contreras was my guitar student. In fact, I would even say that it's probably because of Mr. Contreras and other young people like him that I decided to become a teacher. So when I left Pueblo High School and when I graduated in 1984, everybody was talking about the jobs of the future are going to be engineering, right? So I went to the U of A and as an engineering student. I really didn't like math. I could do it, but it took me a long time. But that was the job of the future. So after about a year and a half in engineering, I absolutely hated it. And what was happening was that at that time, a lot of my friends that had graduated from high school with me, they had dropped out of college and they had gone to work in the mines, you know, Pima Mine, the copper mines. And I remember still being in the science library at the U of A on a Friday night studying for my exams, my final exams the next week. And my friends, you know, driving their new trucks and moving into their new apartments. And I remember thinking, man, I don't want to do this. Maybe I'll just go work in the mines. And sure enough, a few months later, the market for copper dropped in the United States because they opened new mines in South America for copper. So all of my friends were moving back in with their parents. They were selling their vehicles. And I said, okay, if I'm going to stay in college, I'm going to do something I like. At the same time, I was supporting myself in college by not only playing mariachi, but I was giving guitar lessons. And Mr. Contreras was one of those students that was taking guitar lessons. He was learning how to play mariachi guitar. And I found myself thinking, I'd rather go teach guitar lessons than actually go study for, you know, my analytical, structural, whatever. So that's when, almost 2 years into my undergraduate degree, I just put on the brakes, went to go see a professor in the College of Education, switched my major, and I've never looked back. That's why I became an educator. Now, the reason that has to do with Mr. Contreras is that I literally have seen him grow up. I saw him play in youth mariachi groups. I knew his dad. I know his mom. I know his wife. It's a very small community, the mariachi community. And whereas perhaps some other musicians may have made some very questionable choices in their lives, he never was one of those. He always was very, very respectful, very law-abiding, always wanted to do better. Then he started giving lessons. So when it came time to transition out of the classroom, I went kicking and screaming because I loved the classroom. But it actually wasn't Mr. Contreras at first. The first new director was a gentleman named Javier Trujillo. And same story as Mr. Contreras. Saw him grow up, knew him, you know, from his younger years. And after a couple of years, Mr. Trujillo got recruited to go help start the mariachi programs in Las Vegas. And you know, they tapped the talent from Pueblo. And then that's when I spoke with Mr. Contreras and said, hey, this would be a great opportunity for you. He was open to it. And the rest is history. He's done a phenomenal job taking mariachi Aztlan to levels that nobody ever thought we could ever attain. And it's been because of his hard work and the community and the school community.
That's really good. And how does it feel coming back to Pueblo? Like, what surprises you and what makes you proud?
Oh my God, I'm in love with Pueblo. I love Pueblo. I'm like a stalker on all the social media. I like everything. And, you know, Pueblo's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. Pueblo's where I grew up. I owe a lot to Pueblo High School. I'm very proud of Pueblo High School. I think one of the things that makes me the I've lived in Las Vegas. I've lived in San Francisco, California. I've lived in Houston. I've lived in New York City, and I've always followed what's happening at Pueblo. And, you know, unfortunately, when I was a student in the early 1980s at Pueblo, you know, people would say to my brother and I, because we have pretty good grades and we could go places, and we were being recruited to go back to Sal Point and others, you know, private schools. And we'd say, no, we're going to Pueblo. Well, why are you going to Pueblo? Don't you know where it is? Why are you going to Pueblo? Have you heard what happens at Pueblo? And it used to hurt me. It used to hurt my heart because this is my neighborhood. So when I left Pueblo as the principal and moved, I was very proud because we had brought in some young, dynamic teachers that really wanted to make a difference. I mean, one of your teachers right now is an example of that. We had other teachers like Mr. Medi as well. We had, you know, Mr. Santa Cruz, you know, that had come to Pueblo, that had been students at Pueblo. And there was like this desire to show people Pueblo isn't what you think it is. It's let us show you what Pueblo is. And from afar, and I'm going to be just very, very focused on Mariachi Aztlan, I think amongst everything else that Pueblo has done to really, really show how good it is in terms of academic achievement and everything, Mariachi Aztlan has changed the perception of what Pueblo High School is in a lot of people's minds. It's not that school. Like, you shouldn't go to that school. It's become that school. Oh, you want to play mariachi music at a very high level? You should go to Pueblo. Like, from across the city, people want to come here. So for me, that's just a real source of pride for me, that Pueblo High School isn't looked at like that school, but that school. So it brings me a lot of pride, and the facility looks great. You know, Mr. Rostenhauser, I think, has done a great job of just really, you know, turning it on overdrive and going forward. And, you know, I just have a lot of love for Pueblo High School.
And in what ways did your time at Pueblo as both a student and a principal shape and prepare you for other jobs and experiences that you've had?
Well, I mean, I think it had everything to do. I mean, talk about a diverse student body. Talk about, you know, whenever I would think, you know, there were some pretty tough times. You know, I could point to about 5 or 6 or 7 students in my classroom that had much harder than me, yet were doing really, really well, right? So it was for me just an opportunity to really recognize the tremendous talents that there are in this area. There was a very influential thought professor for me. His name was Richard Mole, Dr. Mole, may he rest in peace. And he wrote a book called Funds of Knowledge. And what he did is he actually chronicled the incredible intellectual capacity that exists in communities where you wouldn't consider them intellectual communities. And you may think, well, what do you mean exists in communities you don't think? Well, you think about, you know, the South Side, you think hardworking, you think blue collar, you think that immigrant community. Yet when you go into many of these homes and you see what their parents do for a living, incredibly talented. They can build a house from nothing. How many people can build a house from the foundation? Electrical, plumbing, the architectural work. That's happening right in our communities, in our homes, yet we don't call them structural engineers or architects. We call them construction workers. We call them, you know, woodworkers. So those funds of knowledge, I think, are really, really important to capitalize on. And that's all part of what happens here in this community, in the broader Pueblo community. So all of that makes me just really proud of what's happening at Pueblo and what's going to continue to happen at Pueblo.
What does it mean to you to be back at Pueblo High School?
Yeah, I'm just thrilled to be back at Pueblo High School. I've been able to reconnect with some, you know, some friends from a long time ago. I remember I hired Mr. Rodriguez when I was here for his first Pueblo gig. He was a student and then hired him in. And I'm not going to say how many years later, but let's just say lots and lots of years later, he's still here and still as enthusiastic as ever about being at Pueblo. Those are the kinds of things that really bring me joy because you know that people are in the right place doing the right work for the right reasons. So I'm really excited to see that. It's also really, and let me just tell you, young men and young women, you're going to have this opportunity as well that at some point you're going to go away. And then you're going to come back and you're going to say to yourself, well, I remember when that used to be this room and that used to be that room. And then you're going to say, wow, you know, I wish I would have thought of doing it different like that. And then you're going to say, oh, that room's still the same room, right? So I'll give you an example. This radio studio was a radio studio when I was a teacher here. But now look at it. It's like a radio studio on steroids. It's done a great job. So it's being able to see things, how they develop and how they become even better. That is just really, really satisfying and makes me very, very happy.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Carranza, for being here with us today. It really means a lot to us. And you guys are listening to 98.7 The Block, and have a good day.